It's a good time to be in New York, a good time to be a New York fan. Joining me right now to talk about your New York Rangers, the boy Johnny Lazarus. He's a VSIN Live analyst covering the Rangers, former college hockey player. Second time I've had him on. He also does some stuff for Bleacher Report, Open Ice. Welcome in, Johnny.
What's going on, Keith? I got to be honest, I think I blacked out for the overtime goal, so not sure I can run it back with you, but ask me whatever you want. I'm in the best mood, and I think aside from a Tyrese Maxey four-point play, things have been pretty perfect in New York right now for sports.
Yeah, Rami's got to go clip the audio of us in here because I missed the second-to-last goal that Lafreniere scored, and I was pissed. I'm like, I was looking at notes and hosting the show, and I said to him, you can't look down. And then the overtime period just started, and I'm talking, but my eyes are up, and Rami's looking down, and I'm like, they scored, game, and he missed the goal live. So.
No way. Rami's an emotional, passionate guy, too. I know he's probably kicking himself right now that he missed it.
Yeah, I mean, it was sick live. Let's start with the fact that they haven't lost yet. Let's start with the fact that they're 7-0. Are they just going to go undefeated all the way to the Cup?
Listen, it's not like it's even been 7-0 and it's been stress-free, right? Like, you know, these last couple of games, they've been pretty stressful, and I think it just speaks to volumes of what this team is made of right now. And, you know, listen, you're in New York, you're in a big market, you hear the criticisms when you deserve them. You know, last year this team deserved all the hate that they got losing the way they did in that series, being up 2-0. And, you know, allowing the Devils to get back in that series and then end up winning it in 7 games. And that stinks. And you keep a chip on your shoulder the entire way. And this year, you know, with everything Peter Laviolette has done for the organization, for the team, for the group, the individuals in that room, you know, having Filippito in there and just talking about everything he's been through and what he feels about the team and the organization. I mean, listen, this is my first full year covering an NHL team, but I have to imagine it's never felt like this before for people that have covered the Rangers for a long time.
Yeah, it's definitely a special year. And, you know, going back to last year, you just mentioned the Devils. I'm a Devils fan, and I enjoyed that series a lot. But then when they advanced to face the Carolina Hurricanes, they got punked. It wasn't close. And looking at this matchup tonight, you know, coming off of game two when, you know, Trouba's launching himself, I felt like the Canes tonight, they came out trying to be physical, trying to be tough. They struck first. They scored the first goal. But again, it didn't matter. I feel like it's been evenly matched, but the Rangers just find a way to edge them out, and it was completely different. They're like, we're not going double OT tonight. The last game took forever. They got this one done quickly.
Yeah, well, I think the first period, you know, we just talked to Peter Laviolette about it, and, you know, Igor Shesterkin, you got to give him credit, right? I mean, he's been unbelievable. Rod Brind'Amour just called him a world-class goalie, and every time the Rangers have breakdowns, Shesterkin just comes up big, save after save after save, and it's saves that he probably shouldn't be making, but, you know, that's what you need from goalies in the playoffs. It's not to make every save, even though Shesterkin kind of is, but to make the big ones. And, you know, he kept that team in the game. The Rangers could have easily been down 3-0 after the first period. You know, they go in, you know, obviously not happy with the way they played, but feeling pretty good about the position they're in, only being down 1-0, knowing how good Carolina played. And that can boost your confidence. You know, Laviolette just said, all we got to do is win the second period, and we put ourselves in a pretty good position to win this hockey game. That's exactly what happened. So, you know, a couple of big-time plays, a shorthanded goal from Chris Kreider, and now the Rangers have more shorthanded goals than, you know, the Hurricanes have power play goals, which has been the difference in this series, right? It's Carolina's power play and their big-name players not being able to get it done in the big moments. And the Rangers players, on the other hand, are. Trocheck scores the overtime or double overtime goal in game two. Panarin does it tonight. Like, you know, usually in the playoffs, you see those unsung heroes and the guys that you don't necessarily count on to come up in a big moment, but it's been the Rangers' best players doing it, and that's all you can really ask for.
We're on the phone right now with VSiN NHL analyst Johnny Lazarus after the Rangers win game three to go up 3-0. They win it in overtime quickly. Artemi Panarin, I'm watching him with that kick, that Selly, the bread man. I took a call from him, John in Garden City, and we were talking about the amount of saves that Igor Shesterkin has had to make in this series. Going up 3-0, do you think there's any chance we see Jonathan Quick? Do you think like
those? Don't even start that conversation.
Why not? I was talking to Rami about it during the break. I'm like, I'm going to ask Johnny about it.
don't even start that. Put that to rest. Don't let that become a conversation. You don't change a thing. You've won seven games in a row. I don't care how good Jonathan Quick is. You do not put him in that net. This is Igor's net, no matter what.
I'm with you.
So don't let that be. Don't let that become a conversation.
I'm with you on another thing we were saying. It's not like, I think John in Garden City was saying it. It's not like all of their shots were making him work. It wasn't like he was doing the splits and there it was a lot of shots, but it wasn't like he was grinding out there. Another thing I thought, I was reading up on this game, and we're in here watching the game. The Hurricanes turned to a rookie goalie, and those last two shots, they could have been saved. Those, I think that's on him. The last two shots, I'm like, this guy is going to be thinking about this for the rest of his life, because I think that those were squarely on the goalie. What'd you think about his performance tonight and what the Hurricanes are going to do in the net?
I mean, listen, Kochetkov was put in a difficult situation. You're down 2-0 in the series. You're coming home, and it's basically a must-win game. I thought he did his job. He made the saves he needed to make, and listen, you can say that he could have stopped that Lafreniere goal. To me, and maybe I'm biased here, but Lafreniere gets that puck off his stick in a millisecond. It's such a good catch and release. Maybe the puck goes in the middle of the net, and I'll be battling my co-host, Kobe Cohen, on my morning cup of hockey show about it, because he always likes to say goaltenders need to come up with those saves, but I think you got to credit the shooter in that one. Lafreniere didn't hesitate. He got that puck off his stick in a matter of a second and put it in a pretty good spot. And then the overtime goal, I mean, just a great forecheck by those guys, and Panarin to get a stick on that between his legs. Kochetkov got a piece of it, but it's tough because he played a pretty strong game. I think that's a tough game to blame on your goaltender when you have five power plays. I think the real story in this series right now is Carolina's miserable power play. Like, you can't go 0-15, 0-5 in all three games when you have a power play that was a top three man advantage all year long. Like, you can't just disappear. So you can blame anything you want on the goalies if you're Carolina, but it's not going to help any situation if your power play doesn't come up with any goals.
How about the story of Filip Hedl and his return? I know everybody was waiting on that. There was a lot of talk from April 12th to now, and this is a game that he comes back. What do you think about his return and how he looked?
I'm going to be honest. I did not think we'd see Filip Hedl in this series, so that came as a huge surprise tonight, but I thought as the game went on, he was great. I mean, that between the legs really made in the third period, he goes to his backhand and almost goes in. I think, that would have been on every highlight reel on social media. So it might even still be, just with how great that move was. But, a guy that missed 6 months, 7 months, had a pretty bad head injury to come into a playoff game, in a pretty big one too. And the way Carolina played and the way Hedl kind of handled himself, he didn't really look lost out there, which, as someone who played the game and came back from injury, like, your first couple shifts and first couple games, even, 3-5 games, you don't feel like you really belong sometimes. And it didn't look like that for Hedl. So he was so happy. It looked like he was kind of fighting back tears of joy, honestly, in the locker room after the game. And, I'm sure it's great for the group to have him back out there too, because he's a really important piece to this puzzle.
Yeah, I was saying before, he had such a big year last year. And, I mean, he's done well in the playoffs. It's just part of the story. I believe in things being written in the stars. I always say the universe never unconnects, and him coming back is part of the story. Also, all the parallels to 94. Johnny, how old are you? In 94, how old were you? Were you alive?
In 94, I probably wasn't even a thought. I'm a 96 birth year, so in 94, yeah, my dad was still trying to convince my mom to have another kid, I think.
So you can't go back to that, but there are a lot of people listening and watching. I just had Peter Schwartz come in here, and he's an Islanders fan, and he's miserable right now. And he's talking about how miserable he was that summer. He's a Yankee fan, and the Yankees didn't get to finish their season, but then the Rangers won, and he's talking about, he's like, the Rangers took that damn cup everywhere. He's like, I had to see that all summer.
Oh, yeah, and now he'll see it 5 times more if it happens, just because of social media. We'll be posting that thing nonstop, but don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, I won't have too much conversations of cups and parades, but I've been preaching on the fan. I'm like, the next team that does it in New York, like, the next parade is in 4K. Like, the next parade to happen in New York, the world is going to see this city upside down for a day, and it's not going to look like it looks in these small markets. It's not going to look like it looks in Vegas or Kansas City or Denver. Like, we're all thirsty for it. We're all hoping for it.
every Ranger fan in New York City that works a 9-to-5 corporate job might have a chance of getting fired with all the videos that would come out from that parade.
Let's speak to Peter Laviolette, man. I know you just were listening to him talk after the game. Just the difference that he's made with this team, the impact that he's made on this team. Obviously, they're off to a great start in the first series and a half.
Yeah, you know, he's a pretty game-to-game, period-to-period kind of guy. You know, does not look ahead, does not look behind. And, you know, it's clear just how well his message translates throughout the team. And, you know, something I talked about recently, you know, I feel like with a lot of old-school coaches, I've played for some and I've watched them obviously coach in the NHL, but Laviolette's really the first one I've ever kind of interacted with on a regular basis. And sometimes old-school coaches like Laviolette can come into a group and the players have to adapt to the coach. And if you don't fit their style, you sometimes just don't belong. But it seems like it's a mix of both, right, where he's adapted to a lot of the players. You know, a younger guy who just didn't necessarily have the most opportunity in years past was Alexi Lafreniere. Laviolette's got him on the second line all year, hasn't moved him, you know, hasn't, even in games where he wasn't producing, hasn't pushed him down the lineup. You know, it's been pretty consistent, and it seems like the personalities within the room have meshed well with that, you know, work ethic and detail and just overall preparedness. Is that a word? I don't know if that's a word, but I'm going to use it. Preparedness. Sure. And it's just the perfect mix of where this team is right now and the voice that they needed to believe that what they can do is something special.
Once again, we're on the phone with Johnny Lazarus, Visan NHL analyst covering your New York Rangers. The last thing I'll ask you, and I know we're not touching the money and we're not getting ahead of ourselves, but there was so much talk about, okay, they've gone up 2-0 before, but man, like looking at Sebastian Aho at the end of that game, looking at those Hurricane fans sitting on their hands, not really pumped up, fired up for overtime, and then it ends that quickly. I've already said it on the fan, but like these games have been close. And the Rangers have edged them out. What are the chances of four games being close again and going the other way? You got to be feeling good about their chances. And it's kind of crazy to think that the Rangers are already one game away from advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals.
It's nuts. And honestly, as much as I don't love Hurricanes fans, like you got to feel for them. You know, they've now witnessed their team lose seven straight playoff games. Last year, they got swept in the Eastern Conference Final in a series where, you know, that could have gone either way. You know, they lose two games in overtime at home, you know, one of them being five overtimes. Then they lose in the dying seconds of game four to have their season end on the road in Florida. And this year, it's kind of a similar thing, right? Now it's back-to-back overtime games again for them. And this series could just as easily be 2-1 Carolina, you know? So that's the brutal part of playoff hockey. You know, sometimes the team that necessarily on the overlook of the game that plays better doesn't always win. And did Carolina play better tonight? Definitely. Did they play better in game two? In spurts, not the entire game, but, you know, there were moments the Rangers I thought were really strong in game two. And you know, it's just sometimes the way it goes. But this Carolina Hurricanes team certainly deserves a better outcome, I guess, but they're playing against a monster of a Ranger team right now with top-end talented guys that are performing, and it's really tough to beat that.
All right, one more for you, because I'm just looking at my notes and some things that I had saved. Like 40 minutes ago, Molly Walker tweeted this from Vincent Trocheck. He said that Breadman spoke up in the locker room, and then he spoke up on the ice. Did you catch, like, what did he say, or what was the conversation like? Before you answer, like, I'm still trying to figure out what went on with the Knicks at halftime, what they talked about, because they came out on fire. And, like, when you have these moments, when you have these games, when you're in the playoffs and it's tense like this, you know, just a couple words or a little rally cry can motivate people. And then when the guy that's speaking up ends up being the guy to win it, that's even crazier.
So, full transparency, I didn't get a chance to talk to Trocheck in the post game. I was talking to Panarin and Hedl. I wasn't in the Trocheck scrum, so I can't really speak on what Panarin said in between periods or on the ice. But, you know, I know Panarin is obviously a guy who's, you know, loved in that room. And, you know, I don't think he speaks up often. So when he does, it means something a little bit extra. And, you know, he makes a big play to Alexi Lafreniere in the third period, setting up that goal that gave them a 2-1 lead. And then obviously he scores the game winner. So, you know, you want your guys that are vocal leaders to also, you know, lead by example and make the big plays. And if Perrin said something, then, you know, that's incredible that he was able to be the one to win it for them. I'll have to, you know, text Molly and have her send me that audio so I can hear what Trocheck said. But, you know, I think Panarin is one of those guys who needed to have a special playoffs this year, and he's doing it, and it's great for him, and it's great for the team, and hopefully great for the fans too, because they were pretty hard on him last year.
Well, we'll end on one of your tweets. You put out there that Artemi Panarin said how much fun he's having right now, and the quote was, "I would say the last 3 years I enjoy hockey more than before, especially today. I love everyone, but game four is more important." And I feel like I've listened to so many post games with the Rangers, even during the season when they have a win streak, when they come back, have big wins, overtime, they are focused on the next one. They are not content. They have one goal and one goal only.
I mean, you even felt it in morning skate today. You know, oftentimes when, you know, listen, this team's won six hockey games in a row in the playoffs. Like, when you're around a group like that, they're usually hooting and hollering in the morning, you know, with the woo, you know, getting fired up and feeling good. There was none of that this morning. It was all business. Like, you know, and I've been on so many teams myself where you kind of get a little too cocky and it bites you in the butt. This team is not doing that. And, you know, they might have been the number one team in the NHL. You know, they finished with the President's Trophy. They sweep in the first round, but they were still disrespected nationally. You know, they were underdogs in the series. Can you believe that? So they know that they're trying to prove people wrong that, you know,
Wait till the Rangers face a real team. Wait till the Rangers aren't facing the Ovechkin and the Capitals.
Yeah, and listen, in the playoffs, it's a bend, don't break, you know, and you can't say Carolina, like Carolina's been playing really well, and that's what's tough. Like, these are two good teams going at it, you know, and it sucks that one of them has to lose, but at the end of the day, it's that team that just, you know, is able to lock it in a little bit more mentally and dialed it in. Like, you know, how often do you see a team that gets dominated in the first period like the Rangers did come back and find a way to win that game? You know, like, I think something underrated that happened in the game is Jimmy Vesey dropping the gloves with Jesperi Kotkaniemi. Tough name to say, but I think I nailed it, actually. And, you know, Vesey kind of wakes the group up a little bit when Carolina's dominating them. Like, it's just little things like that go into it. You know, it's really a special group. And, you know, I know that term gets thrown around a lot. And I've been around a lot of teams around the league this year, you know, in road locker rooms and whatnot. And you can just feel it in the locker room that, you know, it's one of the oldest cliches in hockey, but you want it for the guy next to you. And this team really has that feel.
Well, the Rangers have started the postseason 7-0. And the last time they did that, Johnny Lazarus was negative 2 years old.
Yeah, just like the Canes power play. But Keith, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Shout out to your producer, Rami. He's the man, and I've known him for a long time. So proud of him, and go Rangers, baby. Go Knicks, too.
Yes, sir, man. Thanks for the time tonight. That was VSiN NHL analyst Johnny Lazarus covering your New York Rangers with me on The Fan. We're going to take a break right here.
Welcome!
The Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. And this is an easy one tonight. The Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is the bread man, Artemi Panarin. Yeah! What do they call his celly? Is he like kicks up like a rocket?
It's like the bread kick, whatever.
The bread kick? He got that off. That picture is all over the internet. Everybody's talking about that as the Rangers win, and he wastes no time in overtime between the legs. Going up 3-0 in the series, putting the Rangers up 7-0. In the Stanley Cup playoffs, undefeated in the Stanley Cup playoffs, more shades of 1994. What can you say about these guys, man? They are doing it, and they have the city on their back. And I know we talk a lot about the Knicks, and let's say they're more basketball and Knicks fans, sure. But right now, the Rangers are the more dominant team. 877-337-6666. I'm sorry for anybody that was on hold that wants to talk about the Jets or the Knicks or the Yankees, we're going Rangers. I just had Johnny Lazarus on. And I'm also sorry to my Devils fans on Twitter that don't understand I have a job to do. the Devils have no place in this conversation. And me being a Devils fan, what, like, I there's no reason for me to be hating on this right now. It is what it is. I want Carolina to lose after watching Carolina knock out the Devils last year. I get it. You guys hate the Rangers, but this is a fan in New York. We're physically in New York. Let's go to Kevin, who's physically in Charlotte, North Carolina. Kevin, you were at the game?
Yeah, I was. I'm driving home right now. I wanted to mention Johnny Lazarus said he doesn't like the Hurricane fans, and now I understand. It's the first game I've been there. A couple guys got real big with me when I first came in. One guy said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "It's the NHL, the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's what I'm doing here." You were absolutely right when you talked about the fans sitting on their hands. I noticed that in the third period, up until the point that they scored, there was a fucking change left, but the place was dead.
Yeah,
and I was sitting in a like season ticket holder section, not a Ranger fan near me, and behind me were these leather lung guys that were doing this call and response, you know, "Let's go Canes" kind of a thing, and they had a few sections involved, but well, by the time they got to the third period, it was crickets. I mean, I felt like they knew and I knew that the Rangers were going to win this game.
We're in here watching the game with the sound off, but you could see it through the TV that their fans were not, they weren't on the glass, they weren't standing up, they weren't clapping, they weren't yelling and screaming. They were just kind of watching themselves lose. I don't know. You were there. You saw it with your own eyes to confirm it.
Yeah, no, it was really interesting because in the beginning, you know, they get all pumped up with the smoke and the lights and the rap music and all that, but they faded out, they petered out by the end. And there was nothing when they went into overtime. I think it was faded completely. I think they knew they were going to lose. It was great though. So, it was a heck of a game.
Kevin, where are you originally from? Are you driving back up to New York, New Jersey?
I grew up in the Bronx, but I live in Charlotte. It's about 2.5-hour drive to Raleigh to go to the game. And I was going to get a hotel, but I'm so pumped up about the game and listening to your show. I'm like, the hell with it, I'm going to drive home.
Hey, well, that's a good night. How much were the tickets, if you don't mind me asking? Because I've been telling people all week from New York that you could fly down there, you could drive down there, you could buy lower bowl tickets for cheaper than the cheapest ticket to get into the Garden.
Yeah, and in fact, that was one of the things that one of the people said to me was, the only reason you're here is because you can't afford tickets to the Garden. So, I mean, I got, it was kind of nosebleed seats, but I don't think there's a bad seat in that arena. Tax tag and title with a parking pass was maybe $180. So it was nothing.
That's awesome. And then you get to see that game. And I think that's the game to make most Rangers fans feel like you have an advantage in the series.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, there's no way. They're going to sleep. I think they're done. I think the Hurricanes are done.
Awesome. Thanks for the call, Kevin. Drive safe, man. Appreciate you checking in on the show and sharing your experience.
Great show. Thank you, man.
877-337-6666. $180? Bro, I've spent $180 to go to MetLife Stadium. To go see
That's
Jets.
That's what transportation to Midtown will cost you. If you're coming from Jersey.
I'm blessed now that I'm in the media and I don't have to buy tickets to Yankee Stadium. But like Yankee Stadium standing room only tickets for postseason games are at $100, $115.
We can't get in the Garden though. Like I've asked.
And that too.
I've asked.
That too. I haven't tried to get media credentials for the Garden because I'm not doing that. But you just can't get in there, bro. $180, you're not getting into the Garden. There's no resale. Nobody's selling you that ticket. But, I mean, for Kevin, who said he grew up in the Bronx, lives in North Carolina now, yeah, why wouldn't you pull up and root for the Rangers? And I'm sure some Rangers fans were down there from up north. But there's also, New Yorkers that moved down south and are in North Carolina. And you could see it. He confirmed it. I'm talking to you. I'm like, yo, they don't look lit at all. Like, their fans don't look like they're pumped up, excited at all. It's like a foregone conclusion. They know they can't rock with them. They know it's about to be a wrap.
The only time I turned on the sound for a minute, because you said that, I turned it on in here for a second. After they scored the goal to tie it,
yeah,
at the end of regulation, the crowd came alive for a little bit. But even then, after the Rangers give up the game-tying goal, there's a push. Kreider almost has a breakaway there with, after a great poke check. Otherwise, he would have had the game winner with 20 seconds left in regulation. So, yeah, the Rangers took control. They're like, all right, we're going to keep the crowd out of it. And I don't know. I think we got to talk to Zach Gelb because he was sitting basically on the hardwood last night at the Knicks game. So somehow he's got a hookup. We got to figure that out.
Yeah, I saw Gelb. I'm like, bro, quit flexing on us.
I know.
I called him Big Show Bob. His dad is Big Show Bob. I'm sure they have. I mean, they've been in the game for a minute, but like he was literally like a row or two back from the court. Anyway,
he might be the only one who actually saw what happened to Jalen Brunson last night.
Yeah, he might know something that we still haven't figured out. Anyway, 877-337-6666. Going Rangers to the top of the hour. Once we get to the 12, we'll reset. And we'll open it up to everything. 877, you know the number to dial. We got to take a break. Rangers fans, call me up as the Rangers go up 3-0 on the Hurricanes. KM to 1 a.m. tonight. We'll be right back. The city's on fire. New York, New York. It's a good time. Like, wins. Winning cures all. We've needed it. Keith McPherson on the Fan. The Rangers win 3-2 in overtime, and it wasn't a lot of time in overtime. The bread man with the bread kick. Let's get back to the phones. Let's see if we can get these Rangers calls in the next 10 minutes before we go to the break. Young Jason out in Brooklyn on the Fan. What's up, kid?
Yo, Keith, how you doing?
Great. You're calling every night, and we're celebrating.
Yeah, it's a good time. It's a good time.
What'd you think? What'd you think about the Rangers tonight? They didn't keep you up as long on the last one. The last one felt like it was all night.
No, that's definitely true, but I'm so happy with that. Going up 3-0 is so much better than it would have been giving up that first game. You know anything can happen if you're 2-0, 2-1. But here, season in the bag. What happened to the Carolina power play? 15 for 15 on the penalty kill. Could do a little bit better this game on the power play, but still, what was it, 4 for 13 against the great penalty kill? Rangers are on fire. They're going all the way, I think.
Yeah, you know, last time they went all the way, how old were you? I'm just kidding, Jason. I know you were, like, probably negative 15.
No,
when
the Stanley Cup,
94? No. I'm talking about 94 when they won
No,
it.
No.
Not 2014 when they lost to the Kings. How old were you then?
Yeah, I was about 5.
Yeah. Yeah, I was working over at MTV. I remember they set up the whole Bryant Park activation, Rangers Town with the big letters. But, man, this is your time. For you young guys, this is your team. Same thing with the Knicks, right? I'm hearing all these calls of young kids. Like, I don't remember 94. I wasn't alive. I don't know what the Knicks were like when they were. This is awesome for you guys to have an undefeated team in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
That's right. Now, while I wasn't around in 94, but I don't believe in coincidences. And, you know, great Rangers team going 7-0 last time, 94, winning the President's Trophy. They did that in 94. And if I might even say, correct me if I'm mistaken, but I think they won the Vancouver Canucks in 94, who are right now up 1-0 in the second round.
You're saying they beat the Vancouver Canucks?
I'm pretty sure. I think so.
Yeah, they did. 5-4 in that. I don't even remember that, honestly. Let's see. You're correct. 94, I was 5. But, yeah, there are no coincidences. And I don't know, maybe they meet the Canucks in this one.
Yeah, I'm not saying anything, but, you know.
Yeah, I just saw the Dallas Stars went up 4-0, and the Avalanche are up 1-0 in that series. So we still got a long way to go, man. But I just think that the Rangers are a tough team. And they're locked in. I love that their focus all year has been on one thing. They're not getting too far ahead of themselves. They're not celebrating anything yet. They know there's a long way to go, and everyone's riding with them.
That's definitely true. And one more thing. You know, we're saying this about the Knicks, about the Rangers. Everyone's complaining. Oh, they can't go all the way. Look, they're getting lucky these games. They're making last-minute plays. But that's okay. That's how they win. I keep on saying this.
Yeah,
I'm still winning. You're still
winning. I've been
saying
the same thing,
too.
And
this is how they do it.
It's the pessimism, right? All the folks saying, well, if they keep this up, they're going to lose. No, if they keep this up, they're going to win because keeping it up is how they've been winning. This is their formula. This is their style.
Exactly. The Rangers with the most comeback wins in the NHL. Going down 1-0 into the second, they're fine with that.
Yeah, they didn't flinch tonight. Thanks for the call, Jason. Get some sleep, bro. Let's go to Simon in Rockland on the Fan. What's up, Simon?
Hey, Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Having a good time. All these shows have been great. We just have so much going on.
Yeah, I'm doing great. It's my first time calling.
Hey, ding, 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 ding. Appreciate you. What made you call, the Rangers?
Yeah, of course. I'm just saying, I'm not hearing enough hype on this station. I got like after this game is 3-0, we got to get some Go New York going. I'm so freaking hyped. You don't understand.
Well, the Go New York, Go New York, Go is the Knicks thing. You would need to hear the Rangers goal song. We could cue that up for you.
Yeah, we got to get that in by the next break. But this is crazy. My heart's like beating so fast.
Yeah, I mean, that game was over so fast. I thought they'd still be playing in double overtime right now, but nah, the bread
man.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, here we go again. Another 40 minutes of hockey, but there you go, 2 minutes in.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Simon. Appreciate your first one. Just trying to get to everybody before we get to the top of the hour. Mogo in Rockland County on the Fan. Go, go, go.
Hey, what's up, Keith? How you doing?
Good, good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, so I was not alive for 94, and I became a Rangers fan after 2014, so I haven't really experienced any of the Rangers' really, really good seasons yet.
Yeah, but you've been watching this whole regular season and now the Stanley Cup playoffs, right?
Yeah, it's been crazy. Obviously, I saw a stat that there were 21 teams to start off 6-0. 15 of them went on to win the Cup, so hopefully this year will be special.
Yes, it will be. You guys party it up back there. Join in on the sing-along. We've got to move this thing along. Andrew in Jersey City on the Fan of Talk Rangers. Go for it, Drew.
Hey, Keith, man. How you doing, bro?
I'm doing good. Like, I honestly, like, you know, if the Rangers lost, it'd be a different tone. But they refused to lose. I watched that goal. I watched the whole end of the game. They're dominant, man. And these guys, like, they get Hedl back. Shesterkin does what he does. Any night, it could be any of them, from Chris Kreider to Zibanejad to Trocheck to the Breadman. It's just they have a really good team.
Dude, I had the Kreider Zibanejad parlay, which missed, but either way, Rangers won, and that was great.
Where'd you watch the game? At home?
I was down in Hoboken, just watching at a bar. It was a good time.
Yeah, I bet it's turned out. What bar in Hoboken? I'd be out there.
Carpe Diem. underneath the aqueduct.
Oh, okay.
Great.
Yeah.
14th Street. Great spot.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
it's like a little bit off the beaten path, but yeah, it's a really good spot.
When you have these games every night, the bars in our area are profiting off of the Knicks and the Rangers because
they love it. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't go to all the games. You can't go to the game necessarily in Carolina, but. You know, they're having all these watch parties and people getting together, and it's a good time.
Yeah, man. So, anyway, I just think it's awesome that, you know, I know you're like, what, 2-3 years into the radio stuff, at least with the Fan, and like, you got Rangers and you got Knicks every night. It's wild, man. I'm
like, the opposite Fan. This is my, I'm two and a half years in on the radio. I'm a Nets fan and a Devils fan. But like, yeah. I've curbed that. I've put that to the side because it doesn't matter,
dude. I'm a Mets fan. Like I don't even really care about these teams, but I'm psyched about it too.
Yeah, it's positive energy. Like,
yeah,
you got to be a absolute hater to just come and pour cold water on what's going on with the Knicks and the Rangers right
now.
Yeah,
it's fun. It's fun, man.
It is fun. Winning is fun. Success is fun. Compared to the opposite.
Dude, I saw your Instagram post about like your childhood home and stuff. That was cool.
Yeah. You know, some things are happening in a good way for me in life, and I just go back to where I started, the roots, and I just think about like what it took to get out of there to get to here, and it just brings you back. I'm extremely humbled by the opportunities I've been getting and the amount of people that have been supporting me. And so, you know, I went to show people, I'm like, you guys hear me talk about, you know, growing up in a 2-bedroom apartment with 4 people, like this is where I like live most of my life.
Respect, man. Yeah, it was awesome. It was cool to see. So anyway, man, have a great night, but awesome stuff.
Thanks for the call, Andrew. Yeah, at Keith McPherson on Instagram, on Twitter, on TikTok. Like, I wish I could post more, but, you know, the best stuff to post on social media is real stuff. And after I got a cut today, I was like, man, let me slide back to the hood. Let me slide back to the Brook. And I do that, man. I have pictures from multiple times, like, you know, just going back to where I grew up. Cause I just knew young, I had to get out of there. I knew very young that I wasn't going to be stuck there. One more call before we go to the break. Ringus in Smithtown on the Fan.
Rangers, man. What's up, Keith?
You know, it's a Rangers town, and I'm not mad about it. I understand what I got to do here on the Fan. These Rangers fans call. I'm taking the calls. We're talking the talk.
Yeah, the my favorite thing about this entire series is the fact that we have not given up anything on their power plays.
Right.
And if not tonight, we basically shoved their power play up their ass. With the shorthanded goal to tie the game.
And they felt that, and they knew that, and they knew once it went to overtime that they don't have the advantage. Another L.
Oh, my God. This team is so different. I mean, I'm 32 years old, so like you said before, you were 5 years old, you said, in 94 when they won the cup?
Yeah, I was like a first grader, a kindergarten kid.
Yeah, I don't remember it.
I know I have a picture of myself with a Mark Messier t-shirt that I'm going to bring. I got to go dig in the archives and find that somebody bought me that I would wear. But I don't remember watching it. I don't remember it at all.
Yes. Yeah. My first memory of the Rangers was in 97 when they lost in the conference finals, when they had Gretzky and Messier on that team. And I was very upset as a first grader when Messier left because of the contract dispute and all that. And, I mean, I've been a fan of the team since then.
Stay down till you come up, and hopefully this is the time they're up. Thanks for the call. We got to go to the break. We're up against it. I got one more hour left. I'll say good morning on the other side. Keith McPherson on the Fan, KM till 1 a.m. BRB.